both of these biases can just affect the assumptions that we make about people and then skew our view on them, which isn't really based on fact, but just based on our brains categorizing information to make predictions, right?
My name is Charlotte, and I'm the CEO of eCulture, a company that is on a mission to shape the world of unbiased hiring. Welcome to the Oops Unbiased podcast.
So my guest for today's podcast is our very own head of science, Leonie. And together with Leonie, I'm going to talk about the halo and horns effect. It's two different biases, but it's actually the opposite of each other. I can imagine that you've maybe come across a candidate on LinkedIn, or you received a resume and you saw something on that resume and you thought, wow, this is the ideal candidate. For some companies or for some people, that's because of the company they worked for, which is very impressive, or maybe you went to a very impressive university. That's the halo effect. But it can also be the other way around, that you see one thing about a candidate and all of a sudden you dislike everything about that candidate. That's the horns effect. So today we are going to unpack those two different biases and how they impact your hiring process. And of course, last but not least, also what you can do in order to at least minimize the effect of these biases. So I hope you will enjoy today's episode. All right, Leo, it's good to have you back.
Yeah, nice.
This is the third one, right, that we are recording together?
My third episode, yes. Nice. So it feels like home.
Well, I hope it does feel like home by now. Hey, so we are going to talk about the halo and horns effect today. But before we do that, I would hope slash assume that most people know you by now, at least our fan base for the podcast. But could you quickly introduce yourself for the people who don't know you yet?
Yeah, just in case for all of the newcomers. Hi, I'm Leonie Grandpierre. I'm the head of science at eCulture. I'm originally from Germany. I have a background in psychology and cognitive neuroscience. And well, I work at the company with Charlotte. We develop gamified or game-based assessments. And well, my main responsibility there is developing them, testing them, communicating things around the games to the rest of the world, basically.
Cool. Thanks. Hey, so as I mentioned, we are going to talk about the halo and horns effect today. Two biases actually, but we'll get to that in a second, why we mention them in one go. It's definitely a bias that I mention a lot, that I also experience quite often, maybe also even in our own processes, although we, of course, try to be as unbiased as we can. Maybe to start with the halo effect and then move on to horns. And then after that, we are going to explain what the magic is between those two. But could you explain what the halo effect is?
Yes. So maybe to give a brief piece of history first, the effect was originally identified by a psychologist called Frederick Wells in 1907. But then it was properly recognized by Edward Thorndike, another psychologist who conducted research in the 1920s already to collect evidence that this is really a visible and measurable bias. So it has been around and recognized as a bias for quite some time already, actually. A very general explanation of the halo effect is if one positive aspect that you see in an object or a person influences you to interpret the object or person as a whole as positive as well. So it sounds a bit abstract, I know. This can be a physical feature, for example. So attractive or well-dressed people, they are often viewed as competent or successful, even when there's not actually any indication of this. Or also for objects, well-designed products, they're often viewed as better products, even if the design has nothing to do with its functionality. But it can also, it doesn't have to be physical, it can also be a different feature of something or someone. For example, let's say a person has a degree from an esteemed university, that can lead to people automatically making assumptions about this person being competent or successful as well, even though there is no actual measure of this at this point. So I think this bias is actually in our daily lives most visible in the field of marketing. Brands very often use attractive models to present their product, or well-known celebrities. that people already have positive associations with. So they do this with the hope that this positive image of the person presenting the product will create an overall positive image of the product itself. And this seems to be working out quite well for them. But generally, yeah, an explanation of the term is actually already in the name. So the term comes from the idea of the depiction of a halo around the head of a saint, which can lead to this interpretation of that being to be some kind of godlike, all good entity, even though all we actually know is that there is a shiny circle of light around their head.
Well, and then there's the horns effect. I think people might have an idea now, but could you also explain that one?
Yeah, I will be a little brief about this one. So the horns effect is actually very similar to the halo effect. It happens when some negative quality then leads to the interpretation of the whole object or person being negative in some way, or just being ascribed with some negative associations. So it sadly, very common example of the horns effect is, for example, that overweight people are often stereotyped as being lazy or not disciplined. Again, something that is not at all measured by an appearance, but just by taking something that you consider negative and then making more assumptions about that person based on that.
Yeah, I think let's just call it one bias for now. It's obviously two, but it's basically the same, but then the opposite. I think it's a bias that happens much more often than we maybe realize. Well, that's what happens with most biases, obviously. But I really liked your examples. Now, if we would extract that to a hiring process, could you give a couple of examples of, yeah, what could happen in the hiring process, or maybe what kind of information you would can see from someone, from a candidate, that could lead to the halo or horns effect?
Yeah. So I think in the hiring process, this can come in at many, many different stages, actually. Generally, both of these biases can just affect the assumptions that we make about people and then skew our view on them, which isn't really based on fact, but just based on our brains categorizing information to make predictions, right? Because we want to predict whether this person is going to be a good fit for our team or be a good productive worker. But there is actually quite some research on this, and research has shown that especially physical features can have effects on how we judge a lot of things that we would also consider important for a job. So more attractive or even just taller people,
for example,
are associated with things like being more friendly, being more trustworthy, more competent, even being happier, which is an interesting one, but just many more positive attributes. And all of these associations, again, are made without actually knowing anything else about these people. So especially when it comes to things like trustworthiness or competence, I think that can definitely skew your view of someone in an interview setting or even already before that, if you have pictures or videos of someone in your hiring process. They can come into effect either by seeing or interacting with someone, but also through any other piece of information you learn about them. Because as we said, they're not just about physical features. They can also just be about whether you consider the university they went to a good one, for example. So they're really difficult ones to avoid completely in the hiring process.
Yeah. I oftentimes mention the example as well of a lot of people have X company on their LinkedIn profile, so like ex-Google, ex-McKinsey, because they probably think then that everyone likes that company. I think it does happen, mm-hmm. though, that if most companies would receive a job applicant who, for example, worked at McKinsey, they immediately think this should be the perfect candidate, because why would you work at McKinsey?
Yeah, that's the sad thing. It probably works, right?
Hey, since... this is not only about physical appearance, of course, but I think physical appearance has quite a strong impact on how we perceive people, because I think that physical appearance also goes hand in hand with some other biases, like literally beauty bias is one of them, but I think also similarity bias to some extent. Do you think that this bias is, I'm sorry, I did not send this question to you up front. that video interviews, like pre-recorded, like the kind of tools that you get questions and then you need to answer to record your answers. Would that make the effect bigger of the halo and horns effect? And now that I'm thinking, because in an interview, obviously you also see people, but then you have also the component of an actual conversation and actual interaction. And with a video interview is, of course, just some sort of one-way street.
Yeah, I think there are some elements that would probably be very similar in an in-person interview and a video interview, or just having someone record themselves. I think physical attractiveness levels or how someone is clothed, that will probably be similar across the two. I think a big distinction would be at which point in the process this happens. So if you would, for example, use, like if someone would have to submit videos of themselves answering to interview questions already in the very early stages of hiring without there being any other measures or assessments of this person's competence, then I think this is going to have a really strong effect. While if you interview someone after having already gathered a bunch of information about this person's fit for the job, like, I don't know, if you want to do any assessments on cognitive abilities, or if you want to ask them about specific hard skills, languages that they speak, I don't know, how they fit to the job, then yeah, I think the sooner on you have these, you open the door for these biases, the more they can have an effect.
Yeah, I agree. Do you think that the impact of the halo and horns effect is stronger or bigger pre-screening rather than post-screening? Or so like the everything that comes together with the interview? Or do you think the impact is equally heavy throughout the process?
I think that there is, so this is not something that I have researched for, as in I don't really know for sure if there is a stronger effect in different stages, but my assumption would be that the earlier on these biases are triggered, the more they will interact with other biases as well that then reinforce each other. So I think you already mentioned it. Obviously, this is similar to like the beauty bias, or also called the what's beautiful is good bias, you know, catchy name. but there's like two other biases that I think will strongly interact with the halo and horns effect. And that could increase the effect, in my opinion, if these all come together right at the start of the hiring funnel. So I think the affinity or similarity bias can definitely reinforce these effects. So our tendency to be more drawn to someone who we share similarities with, that can strongly influence what types of things about someone we consider a good or bad thing, and then change our perception of their other attributes. And then the other bias that I think is really relevant here is confirmation bias. So that's one that can definitely strengthen the halo and horns effect once it has happened. So this is our tendency to pay more attention to things that confirm an existing belief that we have, and less attention to the things that would disprove this existing belief. Mm-hmm. And if we, for example, already have a positive or negative image of someone because of some piece of information that triggered the halo or horns effect, then we're more likely to look for more things in this person that confirms this belief, which makes it so much harder to sort of neutralize these biases because they keep reinforcing each other, basically. Yeah. So I think that the risk of that is probably higher in the beginning of the hiring stage. So I would definitely try to keep all of the first steps as objective and rational as humanly possible in the hiring process, and only get the face-to-face interactions and finding out information that isn't necessarily relevant to the job itself to later stages in the funnel.
So you basically say, if I'm now summarizing it correctly, to link all the different biases together, because of, okay, yeah, so I agree, like the earlier on biases arise in the process, it's some sort of a snowball effect, I think. It's all going to reinforce each other. So because of similarity affinity bias, we are more drawn to people we share more similarities with. Probably mm-hmm. that influences the halo and horns effect, because what might be my perception of something really good could be different from your perception of something really good. And because of the fact that that happens, then confirmation bias comes in, because then we are just going to look for information that confirms the fact that I think this is the most amazing person in the world, or the one that we should really not hire.
Yeah, I think this is definitely how these three potentially dangerous ones for hiring can be interacting with each other and just create a bit of a vicious cycle that is difficult to get out of at that point.
Yeah, I agree. So your advice is basically to minimize the human, you can rephrase it if I say it correctly, but minimize human interaction or human interference in the first steps of the application procedure.
Yeah, I think that would definitely be my advice. So there should be, so if I could design a hiring process as freely as I would want to, then I think the most important things for me would be to have clear criteria set out based on what I want to judge my candidates on, and then try to stick to those as much as possible in decision making. So that would include having some form of objective assessment tool that can give me an objective view of someone's abilities, or if I require a specific work experience than that, or if I require a specific education, that is also fine as long as there is an objective way of assessing this. And then definitely once there is human interaction, have a structured interview, for example. So that means everyone is asked the same questions. There's some sort of scoring structure in place for the answers to these questions, so that I can make sure that I am actually assessing things and I'm not just letting my brain make connections to things that I never even asked about. So I think generally for every aspect that you're considering in the process, ask yourself if you're basing your judgment on something that you have actually measured or have some sort of proof of, or whether you're drawing a conclusion based on some other effect or impression. And then last thing I would do is have multiple people in the hiring process that are involved and also in the decision making, and try to have this group of people be as diverse as possible when it comes to their backgrounds and their expertise, because something that I might consider good or a positive trait, someone else might not. So it could just be influencing our decisions differently and then hopefully neutralize a little bit of the bias in there.
Yeah, absolutely. Hey, so basically, every time I would, well, it doesn't apply to me because we don't look at resumes, but every time you would, well, I look at LinkedIn profiles, by the way, so it applies to me too. So every time I see something on someone's profile or whatever, basically in order to at least minimize the impact of this bias, what I should do is I should ask myself, hey, I see something that I perceive as positive or negative. Why is that? And then, so to give an example, I don't think, by the way, that if you have worked at McKinsey that that all the doors are going to be opened for you. But let's assume that I would be a big fan of McKinsey. Then I would have to look at a profile, see someone worked at McKinsey, I'm getting super enthusiastic about it. And then I should ask myself, okay, why am I getting enthusiastic? Then maybe my answer is because I would assume that someone is smart. They worked at McKinsey. And then maybe confront myself with, hey, okay, so you're basically assuming something based on secondary information. So instead of assuming that based on different information, I should measure it directly instead. There was a very long explanation and example.
That was a very long description of the thought process there, but yes, that is what I meant to say by that.
Yeah. So only act upon information if you can prove that it's factual.
Yeah, and I think if you have a couple of candidates that you like, maybe try to write out which of your criteria they are all meeting and how you know this. And that might already be showing you a couple of the associations that you're making once you start writing down must be smart because they worked at fill in one of the big four. I don't know.
Cool. Okay. Any last thoughts? Are there any things that I forgot to ask you that you would like to still mention about this specific bias? Actually, two biases.
I think I have just while browsing the internet a little bit in preparation for this podcast, I stumbled across a quite interesting study that I think I would still share. We have a minute.
Yeah,
left,
absolutely.
Or two. So I thought that one was interesting in regard to the halo effect. It's a study from the 70s where the researchers had people rate essays that were either poorly written or well written. And the essays also had pictures attached of the people who supposedly wrote them. And these people were either particularly attractive or particularly unattractive. And interestingly, for the well-written essays, the ratings didn't really differ between those that had attractive pictures attached and those that had unattractive pictures attached. But for the poorly written essays, the ones with the attractive pictures still got rated higher than those with unattractive pictures attached. So the researchers concluded from that being attractive can possibly provide you with a benefit of the doubt in case of low performance. So I think if you've already proven high performance, it doesn't really make a difference if you're attractive or not, basically. But if you're performing badly, then the attractive people get the benefit of the doubt. And this is something where I think in a hiring process, this could definitely happen in an interview setting or even earlier in the process also.
Yeah, that's interesting. So it's not that because of the fact that someone, for example, is attractive, you perceive them as better, but that if they are basically not doing well, then you... And you have someone that you find attractive, obviously, because that's different for everyone. But a candidate that you find attractive and a candidate that you find unattractive, and they had exactly the same interview, then you probably would go for the attractive candidate.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I'm not saying this will 100% always happen, but this seems to be the pattern that is seen in research around these sort of topics. Yeah,
that's why scorecards are so important.
This is why you should be really structuring your interviews, I think.
Cool. I'm going to wrap up. Thanks so much, Leo, for joining me again today. Yeah, as I mentioned, I think it's a tricky bias because I think it's similarity bias or confirmation bias or whatever is something that you're more aware of. I know that it's still unconscious. But this is just drawing the wrong conclusion in your head. Our brains are wired to just draw conclusions from everything. So that's an interesting one. I learned a lot today.
Okay, happy to hear that.
For everyone who's listened to today's episode, if you have any questions for Leonie, feel free to connect on LinkedIn. And I'm going to make sure that the research that you just mentioned that we are going to add that to the comment section. Would be interesting, I think, for people to read. And I hope to see you back on my next episode. And Leonie, big thanks again for joining today.
No problem. Thanks for having me back a third time already.
We're aiming for a fourth now. Thanks.